Welcome back. Actually, we're welcoming back to the program for the second time Robert Notch from the Office of the Veteran Advocate here in Massachusetts. Lucky for us, he's headquartered right up in North Quincy, so it's just a short jaunt down Hancock Street to come on in and say hello. Good to see you again, Mr. Notch.
Thank you, Joe. Glad to be back.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. I thought a good opportunity for a couple of things. First, just to remind folks about this new, relatively new office
sure.
here in Massachusetts, and then second of all, to focus on the HERO Act and see how that's going.
Okay, yeah. Great. Well, I think the first update is we are continuing to grow. We're building the office. As a matter of fact, if anyone wants to check out our annual report that we published at the beginning of November, right in front of Veterans Day, we talk a lot about how the office has grown, how we're covering our statutory responsibilities, what things we have left to do. So we are now, we're an agency of 8 full-time staff.
Okay.
I think when I was here last, it was just me.
It was just you. That's right. Yeah.
So we've made some good strides there. Got a great team on board. They're all very focused on veterans and impacting their lives and the lives of the veterans' families. And then we're bringing on 4 more folks next month. That'll give us a good dozen. And then we're going to settle it there for a bit, full-time staff. And we're going to see where the work takes us.
Okay.
And then I'll figure out, you know, where we need to build some capacity, depending on where we find interesting avenues of investigation.
Yeah, I just wanted to read real briefly just about the office itself.
Please.
Just to kind of set the stage for folks who might not be aware. So appointed as the Commonwealth's first veteran advocate in November 2023, so just about a year ago, right?
Yep.
Retired Colonel Bob Notch, tasked with standing up this newly formed Office of the Veteran Advocate, a one-of-a-kind in the nation, independent state office dedicated to safeguarding the well-being and upholding the rights of the veteran community. So this is separate from the governor's organization, right?
We are,
yeah.
and by design,
right. Right?
The intent is to have another agency, such as us, to be able to keep an eye on how are the systems working, how are we supporting veterans and their families, but also be there to be able to assist executive agencies. And as we talk about the HERO Act here in a minute,
yeah.
Not everything falls under the Executive Office of Veteran Services. There are some things that fall under the Office of the Treasury. There are some things that fall under the Retirement Board. So our job is to be that connector
okay.
between those agencies and you know, let's track how we're doing. Maybe we can be a help to those organizations as they pull programs together. And then we also have a responsibility to inform senior leadership in the state, and we take that seriously. It's mm-hmm. our opportunity to go to the State House and have conversations with our elected leaders to say, this is where we need help with
okay.
veterans.
Or House Speaker, Senate President, folks like that?
Yes.
Okay.
I've been working my way around to meet as many elected officials that are available to have the conversation.
Right. Yeah.
And then when legislation is proposed, and we have some legislation, we're going to propose this new session.
Oh, good. Okay.
To be able to help them figure out the facts, right? Does this make sense? Why does it make sense?
Yeah.
What are we missing? We're offering ourselves as an information tool for our elected leaders.
Yeah. This is unique to Massachusetts, your office, right? This
yes.
is the first in the country. Yeah.
We've not found any other state that has an office like
oh.
it. So it's hard to gauge ourselves against anyone else. We're forging ahead, knowing what all of us bring with us. Many of the staff are veterans themselves
yes.
or
yeah.
family members of veterans. And we've seen a lot of it firsthand. So we know what a lot of the issues are. Now it's finding the information and the data to be able to support those conversations and then be able to work with our leaders to point things in the right direction.
Absolutely. So when you heard last, earlier this year, the HERO Act in Massachusetts had just been signed into law.
Yes.
So maybe just a little bit of a paraphrase of, as to what that is and where it stands now.
Sure. The HERO Act was a major piece of legislation proposed by the governor at the beginning of last year. We were involved with the legislative leaders as we looked at it, multiple opportunities for us to provide advice and guidance and, mm-hmm. and areas where things could be tweaked. It did make its way through. There was a lot happening at the end of the legislative session, but it's a very comprehensive piece of legislation. It does a lot to fix the language in the law, but then there are a number of programs where we increase annuity payments, we increase other payments to family members. We're increasing the ability for employers, small employers, to be able to bring on veterans that are hard to employ. They get a tax credit. I like within there three specific things.
Okay.
One is within Chapter 115, which is primarily what the Executive Office of Veterans Services is responsible for. We adjusted the definition of veteran to include every veteran that the Veterans Administration at the federal level recognizes.
Oh.
So our laws weren't aligned.
Really?
Until this happened.
Oh.
So that's a great step, although it's a beginning of a step.
Yeah.
Our proposed legislation for this year is to take it to the next step, is to make that applicable across all state legislation. So it's very specific the way things are written in our laws. In that instance, it's Chapter 115, everything Veterans Services, but that doesn't always impact veterans programs from other agencies. Those agencies usually refer back to a definition that's in Chapter 4, Section 7.
Okay.
This is our proposal for this year. Now let's take the next step and align that same definition to Chapter 4, so it applies across all state agencies.
Okay. Which veterans were excluded previously?
Primarily what was missing was the commissioned corps from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and the commissioned corps from the public health system.
Oh, okay.
So they've been recognized for years at the federal level.
Yeah.
But not here in Massachusetts.
Okay.
So that has changed, at least within Chapter 115. We want that changed across the board.
Okay, all right.
The second piece is some flexibility for cities and towns here in Massachusetts to increase tax abatements that are offered to veterans. And we like that because it's an opportunity for municipalities to almost recruit veterans,
mm-hmm.
right? If you're offering the ability to provide larger tax abatements for property owners, that might draw veterans to your community.
I see, okay.
And from my perspective, you want veterans in your community. Workforce veterans are there to be able to provide to the community. Many of them come already receiving federal benefits,
yes.
So there is funding that already comes with those veterans when they move in. So that's more opportunity, economic development within your city or town. That's money they can spend locally. And it's a great way to recognize service, period.
So yeah, I know that at least here in Quincy, civil service jobs, veterans are given preference, police, fire.
Yep.
Is that the same statewide?
So there's statewide, yes, a lot of veteran preference responsibilities. We're actually working with that office right now to market that.
Yes.
I don't think we're getting enough information out to the public to tell veterans, hey, come to Massachusetts. We have opportunities for civil employment. There are some benefits there when it comes to promotion.
Mm-hmm,
there's also
mm-hmm.
benefits as well. There's a lot that can be done. And we want to promote Massachusetts as a place that veterans want to come to.
I see, yeah.
Because we're struggling right now with our veteran population. We're losing our veteran population. It's an aging population.
Because of the aging process, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And so we talk a little bit about that in our annual report.
Yeah.
You know, that we're losing about 8,000 veterans a year in Massachusetts. And our proposal is, why don't we try and draw more veterans to Massachusetts,
mm-hmm.
the workforce veterans? You know, we've heard from legislature that we've got an out-migration of working force individuals here. Well, veterans might be a part of that solution.
Okay.
Right? Let's bring them in. So a lot of opportunity there. And then the third piece is for those folks that are currently under a state employment or state-related retirement system, you know, there's an opportunity for folks to buy back their service time. They can buy back up to 4 years of service time towards their civilian retirement here. In the way it's always been in place, but what happened is you only had a very short window to apply for it. And the state leaders realized that many people missed out on that window. And so currently there's a 1 year open opportunity for anybody that missed it previously to apply again or apply for the first time if they didn't apply at all, and be able to buy back some of their service time towards their current retirement.
So could you give us, for instance, Bob, as to who might be eligible for that?
So anyone who served active military, if you've served for over 4 years, you can buy those 4 years back.
Okay.
And there's a process. This runs through the Massachusetts Retirement Board. My understanding is that many municipalities use a similar system or a connected system, so it may apply for municipal jobs as well.
Oh, I see.
I would recommend veterans take a look to see if that applies to them specifically in the system that they exist in.
Okay. And that's part of the HERO Act?
Yes, it's built right in the HERO Act.
Okay. So when you say buy back, does they have to pay to get them back?
So I am eligible, and I have 27 years of service, so I can easily buy back 4 years.
Yes.
The way it works is when you enter the retirement system, it's based on that salary. So I would take my current salary, and roughly it's around 10%.
Okay.
So for each year that I buy back, it's 10% of my current salary.
Okay.
And then that comes to a total. And then they will give you an opportunity to buy that back. Basically, you pay into it. And they'll come up with a total.
Mm-hmm.
And usually you get an extended period of time to pay that off.
Yep.
But what you're doing is adding dollars to your investment in the retirement system to give you 4 more years.
I see. Okay. All right. Okay. So if you would normally have retired at, say, 65, you'll get 4 years on top of that if you buy
if
that
you've
back.
Earned, you know, you retire at 10 years,
yep.
then you actually retire at the 14-year rate.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. That's a good provision. Yeah.
I'm no expert on it, so I might have really messed that up, but there's... the retirement board has the data. The good thing is they have met their requirement per the HERO Act. They had 90 days to get that information out. I received my letter before the 1st of November, so they're on target.
Okay, good, good. We have been showing a couple of points of contact for folks, an email address, and also a QR code that folks can scan right with their smart device and take you right to your website.
Yep. That has changed. Okay. So since we talked last,
yes, that's true.
We did not have a website, if you remember.
Right.
We now have our website is up and running. Folks can get an opportunity to see who's on our staff, how we're doing with the office. But more importantly, what we're trying to do is build transparency within the office and hopefully across more of the state government. And the way we're doing that is any reports that we generate go on our website.
Yep.
Any documents that we're sending to other agencies as far as regulation changes or other specific recommendations, those go on our website. So the public has an opportunity to see what we're sharing with other agencies in official capacity.
So how is your office, the Office of the Veteran Advocates, different from, say, the Quincy Veteran Services Office or, you know, your local Veteran Services Officer? How are you different, and how do you work together?
Yeah, specifically, our legislation keeps us at a strategic level.
Okay.
So we are looking across state agencies. How are the systems working? Are they doing the right thing? I always look at it as ELA. We examine the systems, we liaison with the agencies, and then we assist the agencies when they need it.
Okay.
So very high level, you know, strategy work.
Yes.
We liaison with all the federal agencies.
Okay.
So again, high level. Conversations with elected leaders, high level. Mm-hmm. And then there's one line in there that says we will aid and coordinate with all the veteran service officers across Massachusetts to ensure that veterans receive their state and federal benefits.
Yes.
So we have interpreted that as that's a direct responsibility to go down and be side by side with the veteran service agents.
Right.
And we are in the process. We have one on board. Three more will come on in the next few weeks. And we're calling those regional liaisons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And those individuals, one will be in the southeast region, one northeast, one central, and one western Mass.
Okay.
And their job is to be able to go knock on the door, schedule a meeting, sit next to Christine here in Quincy is a good example, and say, how are things working? What do you need from a systemic level? Where is the system working in your favor? Where is it fighting against you?
Yes.
And then have the also the ability to say, can we help you with your workload? You know, we have a liaison responsibility at the federal level. If you're working with a veteran to handle state benefits and they also need federal benefits, we may be able to lend a hand and say, let us help pick up that workload, lighten your job a little bit and work together.
Yes.
And be more efficient.
Yeah. So that thank you for explaining that, because that you are kind of the go-to for the Christine Cuginis of the world.
Our intent is to be able to help them out as much as possible, because they're doing a lot of work.
Yes.
A number of these agents are single person working with a lot of veterans coming into their office.
Certainly.
And so we're also providing them opportunity, you know, information flow, the ability to talk with their city leaders if they need some additional voice to talk about, for instance, the tax abatement piece. We've offered to those agents, if you want us to come in and help explain it to a town council or whomever, we come in and have those conversations with you or on your behalf.
Yeah, so you can be a direct liaison for that veteran services officer, because they're kind of, you know, quote unquote boots on the ground. They know what the veterans, say here in Quincy, need.
Yes, so we recognize Massachusetts is a bit unique in the ability that we have designed the veteran support system to occur at the local level.
Yes.
And we talk about every city and town should have a veteran service agent. We're taking a look at that right now from a systemic level, right? How many cities and towns do? How many are tied together in a district? Are they all full-time? Which ones are part-time?
Right. Good point.
What are
good.
The hours of the office? So we want to get a good picture
to
be able to share that with the veteran community to say, here's what it looks like in your community.
Mm-hmm.
But it's designed to be front-loaded at the community level.
Mm-hmm.
Rightly so, because I don't want to travel an hour to get help.
Right.
I would love to be able to go downtown and get help, and I think most
veterans would
want to do the same thing, and that's why I think having municipal veteran service agents is a unique and very interesting and very supportive way to go about it. And
absolutely.
So our goal is, hey, that's the way it should be. It should be easier. Let's remove as many barriers as possible.
Sure, sure. Did you find yourself to coming up against those barriers yourself, Bob, before taking this position?
Well, I was fortunate enough in my transition from the military. I started 2 years in advance. I spent 27 years in. I knew I was retiring at a certain date, and so I put a lot of things in place.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Most of my benefits and services were taken care of before I transitioned out. But before I took this job, I was working in the nonprofit sector, supporting military and veterans, and saw a lot of times that most individuals were not as fortunate as me to be able to plan for 2 years for that transition process.
Yeah.
You know, many are struggling to get released from their supervisor to be able to go attend those transition meetings and set up their transportation appointment to get their household goods moved and really figure out what that next, you know, is it a job next or is it going to school next?
Right.
So there are some missed opportunities there. I think the veteran service agents here provide that opportunity to be able to connect with somebody local, short distance away, and really make those connections where you need the help.
Yeah. Again, the website, great resource. Also, the QR code.
We've
been putting the phone number up from time to time as well, so you can make your communication specialists, folks can reach out that way as well.
mass.gov/OVA is the way to find us on the website. We're on Facebook, LinkedIn now, so we're getting a presence. Massachusetts Office of the Veteran Advocate, you can search for us. OVA@mass.gov for email.
Okay.
Send us a note. If there's anyone out there that sees the system's not working right, that's what we want to hear.
Okay.
So we can take a look.
All right. Thanks so much. Good to see you again. Really appreciate it. Please come back.
I will.
All right.
This is great. Thank you.
You're welcome.